wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron. I am in Houston. Aaron and I are both here in studio. Lance is in Ann Arbor, where he gave out the Joe Moore Award yesterday to the Michigan Wolverine offensive line. How'd that go?
Really cool. Really cool. Watching the unfortunately, this is the first year where the offensive line knew that they had won, or the team knew they had won. I think the offensive line knew they had won. So usually it's a surprise, but to move the trophy's the biggest in college football. It's enormous. It takes, you know, it takes six of us just to kind of assemble it together, put the top on top of the base, and so we have to work through sports information directors and, you know, people at the school. And unfortunately, the players were up in their cafeteria, I guess, 2 days ago and saw the crates and figured it out because Joe Moore was sprayed on the, you know, there was a Joe Moore thing on the outside of the crate. Hadn't been covered up. So they knew, but it really didn't matter. I mean, when the players gathered at after their practice at 4 o'clock, they gathered into the weight room, the big weight room they had. I've got some video and footage. You can see it on Twitter and I think my Instagram. But it was really cool. All the players came in and they started to see the award was covered up, but they knew what was happening, and they started going crazy for the offensive line. Like, it's a really big deal for the linemen and for the offensive line coaches. The guys are just – their celebration is just really, really cool because they don't – offensive linemen get all the blame. They don't get a whole lot of credit. And honestly, this wasn't a great year for offensive lines in college football, very sporadic. But when Michigan – we weren't even sure, you know, the finalists were Air Force, Oregon State, Kentucky, and Michigan. But the way Michigan pounded Ohio State – and then Iowa in back-to-back games, it kind of sealed it for them. But it was really cool to check out the facility. They've got Georgia games playing nonstop on their in their weight room on their big screen TV. That's all it is, Georgia football games. Georgia, Georgia, Georgia. And I want to get into the game in just a little bit, but just visiting with the strength coach, just seeing the players and their reactions and responses and just getting to take a look at them physically and what they look like. I mean, this matchup against Georgia is going to be great. It's going to be low scoring. And, but Ann Arbor's a really cool campus here for Michigan, and their setup is really great. I can compare it to Texas A&M and Texas specifically.
What do you mean? I mean, their facilities are as good.
The facilities are really good. They've got a couple indoor spots. I don't think it's anything crazy. Like, I've been in the University of Texas weight room. The Michigan weight room is bigger. Texas has all this fancy, like, they've got, well, right here you can type in your digital code, and then this pulley system will do this. You can, you know, your own playlist will come up, and it'll automatically. And in Michigan, you know what they have? A bunch of weights that they push around. Like, it almost crystallized for me that Texas has the most advanced this, and this, and here's our helmets that do this, and we'll automatically send a trigger to the trainer, and this is this. And right here, what we do is it measures the force and exertion of a one-legged hop through 360-degree cameras. And you know what Michigan has? Just a bleep ton of heavy weights that they just jack around and push around to get bigger and stronger, and then a lot of flexibility stations and stuff like that. I mean, it just kind of crystallized. It's still about being tough, being strong, and being more willful than the other guy. And that's what Michigan football and, you know, Big Ten football has always been about, but you obviously have to blend in skill and speed and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's just – I visited the Texas weight room when – Tom Herman's strength coach Yancey was there, and he's considered a very good strength coach. But it was all about how expensive and the technology of the weight room that they had, and no one else has this, and no one else has this. And you get into here's a program where they're just trying to, you know, go win a national championship. It's just a crap load of weights. Like, it's just weight machines and different types of weight machines that have weights and don't have playlists and electronic, you know, this, that, and the other. It's just about, okay, let's push these weights around and let's go get ready to beat someone's ass.
Yeah, but
and,
this, that said, this is the first time Michigan's been relevant in a while. You know,
well, it's the first time that they in Texas. Wouldn't you want to do them?
No, I get that, but I mean,
Michigan's been relevant. They just get their butts kicked by Ohio State,
yeah.
And you know what I mean. Like they've been relevant headed into the Ohio State game, but when you lose the same game over and over,
well, couldn't have been that relevant because this is the first time that a team has made the Final Four without being ranked in preseason. So this is they came into the season just thinking, oh, they're going to be Michigan again. And they, you know, they kicked hey, no question, they deserve to be there and all of that stuff. You know, they're getting a different athlete than the guys down here are. You know, it's tougher up there. High school and college football just isn't as relevant up in the North as it is in the South. So
it is in the Midwest, though. So, I mean, that's in Pennsylvania and Ohio. It's major, major, major.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a... And, you know, they were talking about where they get their players from. Look, California, Florida, Texas, areas of the Southeast, Pennsylvania, Ohio. That's where, I mean, that's still to this day is, and then there's pockets of different states. But, you know, the buzz, it's not around the Ann Arbor campus, but there's some buzz right now that this could be Harbaugh's last year here. You know where he would go?
Down to Jacksonville?
Nope. You're not thinking of the connection. There's a better connection. Well, actually, I don't know if he played with. Didn't Harbaugh play for the Bears?
Uh-huh. He sure did. Oh,
right
yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thought. He knows Justin Fields
too
well. He knows Justin Fields. They've got Montgomery, who's a downhill running back that they can work with.
Makes
it's
some sense.
In Chicago. It makes a lot of sense.
Yep. You
may never beat Ohio State. Hey, you go out on a winning note against Ohio State. What if you beat Georgia and you get to a national championship? What if you win a national championship? The idea is he might just go out saying, you know what, I'm going to sell high instead of sell low.
Well, and let's not forget, last offseason he took a pay cut because of his record against Ohio State.
I forgot about that. Yeah. They used the COVID thing, but it was
– yeah.
Yeah,
right.
It was on the hot seat headed into this year.
Yeah, are you kidding? It was probably the number one guy on the hot seat.
John, look at Ed Ogeron. Ed Ogeron won 145 games in 2019. Joe Burrow threw for 90 touchdowns, and he was on the hot seat after 20.
Yeah.
It's not the craziest thing.
That actually makes a lot of sense. So that's where Lance is up there. Neat stuff.
We could get
into more of that a little bit later in the show. We are just a couple of days away. For those of you, we rarely talk about this in this segment, but we're just 2 days away, 48 hours away from our onside kick, and we are at Klein's Christmas party. It is going to be great. It's Fountain View and Westheimer. It is unbelievable. If you haven't been out there before, we're going to have all kinds of games. We got food. We got beer. We got you covered. You don't have to bring anything. Just bring yourself. Come on out. If you want to bring something for Gilbert, we're having a Gilbert-type Christmas. I checked yesterday. He is still in the nursing home. And so we are going to head over there after the show and bring him whatever we can collect here on the show. So we want you, if you can, bring a dollar. Bring $5, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Bring anything and come. And if you want to come and caravan to Gilbert's at 10 o'clock when the show ends, we're going to do that as well. And then we're going to head over to the Nick's place after that and have a few libations. Let's start Christmas right by drinking and eating till we throw up on ourselves. That's
no,
the best
don't
way.
Do don't well, do any of that, guys.
Well, that's
not
what,
until you throw
that's
up
what,
on
that's,
you.
That's
not
Christmas
the end game.
To me and my kids. That's what Christmas
that's not the,
means.
That's not the Christmas spirit for everyone else
is
go, go, go until you vomit. You know, I've done that one time. I've done that twice in my life. Once was when I was a kid, I threw up on bologna sandwiches and like some kind of cherry pie my mom made when I think I was four. And after that, I never had bologna sandwiches for the rest of my life because I assumed that
Love
they would make
sandwiches.
Me throw up. Yeah, so there was that. And then there was one time in college where, and I was pretty skinny, But me and my buddy Joe Cooper, who they called Kid Hairdo, well, that's what Buffalo Jimmy called him, just I remember just drinking heavily and then eating like a banana cream pie on the side of the road like a dirty animal, just barely able to walk. And then that ended up, you know, throwing up. Like
right,
you,
so
like
banana
you
cream.
To.
Well, that's a good thing. You never had
banana cream pie and
banana cream pie in your life. Like you needed
I don't know what I was. What was I drinking back then? I don't even know what I was, because I wasn't drinking Cuba Libres anymore, not after that horrific, not after that one horrific incident. I can't remember what I was drinking.
We can do some Cuba Libres on Friday morning.
No!
Climbs, over at Climbs.
To this day, I can't smell that combination of lime, Coke, and rum.
That's a goal for everybody out there. Bring Lance Cuba Libres.
No. Okay. Bring me something else. Oh, and then there was that one time I didn't throw up, but when we had the Juego Palooza where everyone kept buying me Bull Blasters.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That I ended up laying down outside on my
porch
eating Whataburger. Hey, the NFL, my guy Charlie Uke, they sent out the gift package for Gilbert. It's going to get there. It's coming today. They overnighted it. So I got the NFL. Yeah. They hooked them up. I don't know what they sent. So we got a gift package for Gilbert with,
I'm
hoping, fingers crossed, something from Colleen Wolfe. Is coming his way. Fingers crossed. That's his new crush.
Oh my gosh, that'll
well,
be awesome.
And your wife, and Jennifer Reyna, and Dominique Soxon,
right?
All his crushes,
right? All his crushes.
And apparently my wife, because he said it'd be better if me and you didn't come,
right?
Just our wives
and Wendy and Nicole came instead. That'd be great. That would be awesome. He said. We got some. Speaking of the NFL, had games last night. And the NFL playoff picture, it just is unbelievable what has gone on. How about, I mean, let's do it on the other side. But once again, it's a Christmas for Gilbert. It's a Gilbert Christmas, and we want you to bring stuff. If you want to bring a sweatshirt, you want to bring a T-shirt, you want to bring a hat of the Texans or Rockets or Astros or U of H or whatever it is, you want to do that, you're more than welcome. Or rice, whatever. Whatever it is, TSU, you want to bring something for Gilbert?
Sports mug.
Yeah, anything. He would, I don't know that if he's going to appreciate it. We don't know that he's going to appreciate it.
Hey, if you have like an old program from a Super Bowl you went to, he'll take that.
Yeah, no. It doesn't matter. We're going to make him happy because he is he's stuck in the nursing home all by himself. I don't know that he's had any visitors since we left, so we're going to let's brighten his spirits. So come on out to the Christmas party at Klein's, 5868 Westheimer. That'll be Friday morning. That's less than 48 hours away now with the onside kick. So here we go. We got a nice show for you. Ross Dellinger is going to join us. He's an SI writer. Did a big piece on Alabama that we will talk about. Dana Holgerson is going to join us. At 8:45, he is going to call us to preview his bowl game. Did you see Marcus Jones opted out? That's a tough
one. Oh, no. Yeah, did he really?
He opted
Why?
Out so he could get ready for the NFL draft. So
well, get ready? What, you get an extra week?
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
And then Nick DePaul is going to join us. We're going to talk about shoes and P.J. Tucker. So we will do that as well at 9:30. So we got that all that going on right here on ESPN 97.5. You and I got to talk right now. Listen, the freeze came and went for 2 days here. It got down to about 50 something, so that's our freeze here right now. But God only knows, because we had a freeze in last February, you will remember, where pipes all busted. And if your pipes bust, or if you still have that copper piping from the 70s and 80s and even the 90s, well, you need to change that so that you don't have pipes burst on you when it gets cold again, because that is what happened. And then Aqueduct Plumbing was just nuts. It was crazy. They got to everybody that they possibly could as fast as they possibly could. But listen, why don't you do stuff now? Why don't you change that water heater now? Go to the tankless water heater, which is awesome. Why don't you make sure that all of your plumbing is great right now with Aqueduct Plumbing, Lance?
Yeah, and it's the small jobs, the big jobs, they do it all. But having someone that you can trust is a major, major deal. So even if you don't have needs right now, make sure that you remember thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com. Their phone number's on the website. And now you have a place that you can call for any and all plumbing needs, no matter how big or how small. They'll get to you quickly, and they will give you a fair and reasonable rate, and they get the work done in a timely manner. Thebenchplumbing.com.
We'll take a short break.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We had a couple of games last night. Boy, the show before ours, I guess they got a producer or somebody that's an Eagles fan. And boy, talking about the Eagles for as long as they did, I was like, oh my God, who cares? It's a 7-17 that's not doing anything.
That's what I would have said.
Let's get to the Texans football. Goodness gracious. We got a crisis here going on with Nick Caserio. It's in crisis mode. So do you have the other game that was actually kind of a big deal, which was Russell Wilson, it's over there. If it wasn't over before this season where, you know, they appeared to have their outs and Russell wanted, you know, a move on, and there was all this smoke about Russell Wilson, it's over now because he isn't as nearly as good as he used to be. Holy crap, he's not playing good football. I don't know.
What has happened?
I think his mobility is a big problem. You know, he needed that mobility a bunch early on in his career, and what a threat he was. He could pull it down and go anytime, and you know, that offensive line is a mess though. That's not any good.
It's been a mess for his entire career.
The running game, everything about it. When was the last time they had a featured back? I mean, honestly, what
Marshawn?
Yeah.
I mean, no, Chris Carson had a good year like a year ago. I don't know. I think it's just Russ.
This year he's got Alex Collins is 11 games played. He's got 411 yards. I mean, that's bad.
Look at this. So in 2017, he was 34-11. I'm going to touch down his interceptions. 2018, 35-7. 2019, 31-5. Last year, 40-13, but that was he had a lock cinch MVP year for the first half of the year. I mean, was incredible. And then ever since then, and I'm going to go find exactly where the point was. This year, through 11 games, and he's never missed a game his entire career. 16 games, 16 starts his entire career. So he is he's a monster in terms of durability. He's played 11 games this year, 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. You know, his yards per attempt, 7.7. It's about what it usually is. It's not way off at all in that regard.
And Lockett's got 1,000 yards receiving. Metcalf is 8. Metcalf's a little disappointing this year.
Metcalf has not done a whole lot.
No, yeah. No. He's got 8 touchdowns, though, but only 800 yards. You would think in 14 games that Metcalf should be a much bigger threat. I think that offensive line and that running game is just a killer. Just a killer. Plus, their defense is no great shakes. Although it was pretty good last night, giving up just 20 to the Rams. Rams are good. Are about as dangerous. Is there a better player in the NFL this year? Listen, we talk about Jonathan Taylor. We talk about Aaron Rodgers. Cooper Kupp is as good as it gets in the NFL. He is a monster. Set the Rams record through 14 games for most receptions in a season. This is a team that had the greatest show on turf. Cooper Kupp has been spectacular this year and should be third on the list of MVP right now.
He's really good. He's really good. I mean, I think if you really look at just the football part of it, Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp
And Aaron Rodgers.
It might be – and Aaron Rodgers are the three guys, yeah. I don't know if that's how it's going to play out, but really, realistically, in terms of just football play, you know, Matt Stafford showed again yesterday why he can rack up the stats, but I really do wonder if Matt Stafford can play winning football at the highest level. He didn't have to in Detroit. This is going to be the first time that he's really playing football that matters in December. I do question if Matt Stafford can get on a run throughout a playoffs that can carry a team. I know he's got talent, but man, the interception he had yesterday was just awful that he threw down near the goal line. And I don't know. I just don't think I buy all the way into by all the way into the Rams. I will say this. I'm looking at John, I'm looking at this. Russell Wilson has one 300-yard game over his last 19 games. Mm. One 300-yard game. And he is not the same guy. And I need to check and see what his salary is. But I got into a fight. Okay. So what time do we have here? I got time. So I think people recognize, what are you doing? Yesterday on Twitter, during the show, I just threw out a hypothetical and just a philosophical quote for debate regarding team building. I said, is there any chance at all that the Ravens will have second thoughts or doubts about giving Lamar Jackson a contract that's going to be $35 to $40 million with the way they've seen Tyler Huntley playing? I know the answer is no on that. They may have some internal discussions, probably not about Tyler Huntley as their quarterback of the future, but it was meant to stimulate discussion about the concept of giving a guy that much, that high a percentage of the salary cap. The same stuff we have. We've had this conversation about Dak, too, when you have so many good players around him. Less so with Deshaun Watson, because you don't have to pay anyone else around Houston. I mean, let's just face it, you don't have players. But, and of course, Team Lamar came out, and it was, you know, it got a little messy. But the philosophical question remains, and somebody brought up Russell Wilson and said, you know, for as great as Russell Wilson has been, once he got his big contract, it was hard for Seattle to keep their defense because he was taking up such a giant chunk of the salary cap. I think Peyton Manning at Indianapolis refused to play ball from a salary standpoint, and they lost their running game with Edgerrin James and, you know, just how they ran the football.
That said, they were the worst running team in the NFL when they won the Super Bowl.
They were
terrible.
It became harder. Yeah, that year. But it became harder for him. Like, how much easier would his life have been if they had a little better running? And now the salaries have gone way up from that point for quarterbacks. Here's the reality. How many quarterbacks are truly elite right now, John? We have a tendency to put a lot of guys in tier one. How many are truly tier one guys right now moving forward in the NFL? Aaron Rodgers is old. But I guess you still have to put him there. He might win back-to-back MVPs.
That's not even
elite, John. Elite tier one win because of top of the food chain.
Brady's still there. Yes, hell yes. Okay. I mean, he's elite. He's going to throw for 5,000 yards. Yes.
Okay. All right. I guess we'll put Tom Brady there. I don't think I put Matt Stafford there. I put him in a really, really good. I put him in a good.
Yeah,
tier
but look
two.
At the difference between in that team right now between him when Goff was there and now he's there. They are a true Super Bowl contender. Doesn't make you
an elite guy who can win a Super Bowl with multiple teams. That's my criteria. Who can you win Super Bowls on multiple teams with, no matter what it looks like?
Okay, Josh Allen.
I can't put him there.
He's the whole team.
I can't put him there right now. They're not even winning at a high enough.
No running game. And he's the whole damn team.
Okay, how's he doing?
Him, that's he's carrying him at 8-6. He's carrying him.
He's 8-6, John. That's not an elite. If you know what, show me a guy right now that's 11-5, and I'll give it to you. But he was awful against the Jaguars. Davis Mills is better against the Jaguars than Josh Allen.
Well,
not in tier one.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Okay. So wait a minute. Okay. So you know who won four games last year and is elite talent is Deshaun Watson.
Who?
Won four games.
I don't know that I don't know that I would put him in. I know that's why I wouldn't put him in tier one. I'm excluding tier one for the team on any system.
You can't hold Bill O'Brien's moves against Deshaun Watson.
I'm not holding against him.
You can't hold a lack of everything on this organization.
John, I'm basing it on his play.
His play was awesome. He was unbelievable.
Deshaun's great. I don't throw the word elite out very often. I think it's entirely overused if you look at the true definition. Elite means this guy can win Super Bowls on multiple teams. Deshaun won four last year. Deshaun, that was his best year ever. He won four. Deshaun has other seasons where we're talking about, man, the guy doesn't see this, he doesn't see that.
Yeah,
Deshaun is a great talent.
I mean, the Matt Stafford is winning 10 games this year. If he was with the Lions, he'd win two. You know
this
what?
Is going
There's
to be
something
my point.
You can't make chicken salad out of the Detroit Lions.
I'm about to make a point, and you're making my point for me. you're paying these guys like they're Aaron Rodgers, and they're not. You're paying these guys like they're – Pat Mahomes has to be in that first level too. I understand he's not playing as well, but we have to put Pat Mahomes with Aaron Rodgers and with Tom Brady. And that's it. Josh Allen is still trying to prove he can do it. And this year, he stumbled a little bit, honestly, in situations where they need to. I know he doesn't have a running game, but either did Marino and either did Peyton Manning. He's still young. But he's got to prove that he can will his team to victory at a high level. Matt Stafford is a stat getter, but he's not a consistently incredible quarterback. Lamar Jackson, not consistently incredible. The point I want to make, you know, Deshaun is maybe clearly in the second tier, which is an excellent tier. But the point I'm making is we're paying everybody, Dak Prescott, not tier one, we're paying everybody like they're Aaron Rodgers. You know, and people were freaking out at me. You wouldn't ask this question if it wasn't Lamar Jackson. Yes, I would. We ask it in Houston all the time about Christian Wood, about Carlos Correa. We ask these questions, John, on a daily basis on our show for the Rockets currently and for other max dollar players. And we ask it about who are you going to pay long-term big dollar contracts to in baseball. We have those hard discussions. Yet quarterbacks get a free pass, and guys who don't have the same impact on winning are paid the exact same amount as a guy like Brady and Rodgers and Mahomes. And I think that's where you get in trouble, is the salary structure is torn up when you have to pay good quarterbacks elite quarterback money.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the problem.
Yep. All right, 727 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Carlos Correa is back in the news today. Did absolutely nothing, and yet...
Did he sign?
He hasn't signed yet.
Did he sign yesterday?
He hasn't signed yet.
Is he an Astro still?
But you don't have any idea. It could happen. It could happen any second. So we will talk about that on the other side. Ross Dellinger at the top of the hour. Dana Holgorsen at 8:45. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on anything that we've said so far? You're more than welcome to get in here or to talk about Carlos Correa. Right now, I'm talking about Coors Light, and I got news for you. We're going to take first of all, at the Friday at the Christmas party, there's going to be plenty of cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights for you. And it's going to be like 80 degrees, so you're going to need refreshment. I want everybody to stay, make sure that you're drinking enough so that you make sure that you have enough liquid in your body, all right? So please, climb on, brother. And then during the holiday season, there's nothing better than a Coors Light. I'm telling you, if you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, this holiday season, especially as hot as it's going to be, you need to be refreshed, all right? You need to be hydrated. You need as much as you possibly can get of that Coors Light. So, and people come over for the holidays, they're going to stop on by. You got to have Coors Light ready for them in the fridge with those Blue Mountains, and they'll go, what a great, great place to be. I might live here. So if you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, and you want to entertain, and you want your friends to like you, it's Coors Light, baby. Climb on. This holiday season, climb on, brother.
It's our gift to you.
Wow, guess what I've always wanted.
Sports. ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 731, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So apparently there is an article yesterday came out, and I'm not sure that it's, something that is actually believable. Because the source that it came from, I'm not sure that he is all that reliable. It's Bruce Levine out of Chicago, and I saw one place that said, Bruce Levine is a joke. The Cubs left behind his back. He's been doing it forever, but I don't know that he is actually somebody that can be believed in. Apparently, though, there is interest between the Cubs and Carlos Correa. Now, the Cubs have always been in play. They're a team that spends money. They gutted their team last trade deadline. They just traded everybody away. Just said, why spend this money when we're as bad as we are? I would say this: if Carlos Correa signs with them, then it's about money. And there's no question. Listen, it's about money anyway. Carlos Correa wants as much as he can possibly get. There's no question about that. And you can't blame him. I mean, he's got it's his career. He's 27 years old. He wants to get that big pay. This is going to be his biggest payday. God bless. But going to the Cubs is going to – now, he has said before, Carlos Correa has said before, as long as – you know what? If I like their plan, if you know, I like their plan for rebuilding, I'm okay with that. Do you know what their plan for his – what he means by their plan for rebuilding? Give me $350 million and I'm going to be okay with it. Whatever it is you guys want to do, I'm fine with it, as long as you give me $350 million. There is talk now that the Cubs aren't interested in giving him 10 years either, but they could give him that big, big payday that could be comparable to Corey Seager. Whatever. You know what? This is like draft talk, Lance, right now. It's everything is speculative, and we're talking about what teams are thinking. Sure
we can't do any – nothing can happen right now.
No, nothing can happen right now, and I'm sure – everybody in the Cubs organization is out there. Hey, did you hear what we're doing? Yeah, right. So I'm not so sure whether or not you can believe this story or not. There's going to be all kinds of this stuff coming out over the next. I mean, how long is this lockout going to take? It's going to take forever, right? I mean, so you know, this will go into spring training, and we're going to have and all these guys are going to be sitting there. We're seeing all these places that all these guys should go, and all of these, you know, where guys will end up, and all this stuff. I don't know what to believe. I can tell you, I've heard behind the scenes that the Cubs certainly would be an option. The Cubs are and listen, it makes some sense. The Cubs have always spent money; they ain't afraid to spend money, and you know that they've got to in Chicago, otherwise they're going to catch it. The Cubs were doldrums forever. You know, when I was growing up, and you know, it was just a mess of an organization. But they're not afraid to spend money. This organization and this ownership hasn't been afraid to spend money. They just have, you know, they got 1 year out of and you know, finally won something after 108 years, whatever it was, that they didn't win anything forever. But Carlos Correa, but the Cubs are a real deal. The Cubs are I could certainly see. I think there's the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Yankees, and the Red Sox, despite Bogarts, I could certainly see the Red Sox saying, we got to make a splash this offseason. We got to do it. I think the Yankees are probably fourth in this deal, if you want to know the truth, because of the money that they're going to have to spend on Judge.
Good.
And with the hard feelings with Carlos Correa and the Astros and everything else. You know, Yankee fan, they'll love Carlos Correa if he comes over, and the elbow will be forgiven, and they'll be, oh yeah, that's our guy, you know. And Puerto Rican in New York City, how much he would be, how valuable he would be to that community and everything else. I could certainly see the Yankees, but I really do believe. I think I would love to see the 2-year deal for the Astros, and then Carlos hit free agency again at 29. I think that's a possibility. But I could certainly see the Cubs come swooping in and take him on a long-term deal.
Yeah. And listen, I'd much rather be the Cubs than Dodgers or Yankees. If it's not going to be the Astros, and I don't hear you talking anything about the Astros, you're going through a whirlwind of teams around the country, and you're not even saying anything about the Astros. I want to get to the next segment. This is the worst segment we've done this week.
You don't like
what
this?
Else? What else can we do? This is a terrible segment. You're telling me at least you're not saying he's going to be a Yankee or a Dodger. Are you going to put the Astros in that mix anywhere? Or?
Like I said, I think the Astros are in play if it's a 2-year $70 million deal. I think the Astros are in play.
The only way that deal comes up is if other deals don't present themselves.
Right. I don't even know that the Cubs are going to go 10 years with Carlos Correa. And I'm, you know, I really think, listening to the guys in the afternoon, the Killer Bees and whatnot, they're all like, he's going to get a bigger deal than Corey Seager. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
I'm not sure anymore.
No, I think that the market is shriveling up, and I think that 10 years with Carlos Correa and his injury past and his back and his ribs and his – you know, his legs and everything else that have been injured for Carlos Correa. I just don't know. I don't see it. I would love to see, you know, the Astros go for it one more time. You got Verlander for 2 more years. possibly if he throws 130 innings. You got Verlander for two more years. You got the young guys that are coming up that you still got on the cheap with arbitration and first years of salary arbitration and some team control still. You got a real open window here for the next couple of years. I would love to see them go high for 2 years with Carlos, and he'd hit the market again at 29. He bet on himself once, bet on yourself again. Let's go, Carlos. Let's do that. 713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts on that, you're more than welcome to get in here with us. So there is sound out there, Lance, of Bill Belichick talking about Nick Caserio. Did you see this?
I did.
Yeah. So this is very interesting of what listen, the stories yesterday were that Nick Caserio was on the headset but had no ability to talk. He could only hear what was going on, and that Bill Belichick wanted him to hear everything. Well, that certainly is not the case, because he was integral to the Patriots offense in telling what personnel was on the field. And when you hear Bill Belichick talking about him, listen to this piece. It's Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels talking about Nick Caserio and his role, especially on game days for the Patriots.
Toughness is a trait Bill Belichick reveres. He also values versatility. No Patriots staff member wears more hats than Nick Caserio.
I don't think there's another general manager in the league that would do anything that would even approach what he does comprehensively. In addition to all the personnel duties, he's there for game plan meetings, preparation, practice, game day.
Nick spends a lot of time digesting our information offensively, defensively, the game plan, the opponent.
Nick's background has been in coaching as well as scouting. So he has a very good understanding of our offensive system, how we try to utilize our personnel on game days. He identifies the personnel, substitution, and coverage.
All right, second and nine. Third, second and eight. Right hand. Tim, look for Tampa.
I'm looking at what the other team is doing and trying to give Josh the information so that he can make a quick decision about what he wants to call, what personnel he wants to put in the game. Maybe the game plan is shifted, so we have to come up with another idea or concept. You have to be able to react and then be able to disseminate that information quickly so that he can make a good decision.
That play's been a good play for us. You can always hate it, too, to give him a different look.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great thing to have somebody like that in the booth that you trust and that knows what you want from them in terms of the communication.
Nick does a tremendous job for us. Works hard, has got a great capacity, and has a very unique skill set.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, really valuable.
So that was extrapolated a hell of a lot more on what Nick Caserio's role was with the New England Patriots.
Right.
And that's not his role here, though.
Is it not now?
Do you just know that's
his role now?
No. Apparently he is, he's with Romeo talking about strategy, timeout strategy. I don't know how much he's involved in the red flag or whatever, but do you think that he's helping Tim Kelly in the same way he was helping Josh McDaniels?
I don't know. I've seen him on the field during practice. Look, this is something I want to acknowledge this just in case we're wrong on something. 2019, we were talking about when Rick Smith was gone, when Brian Gain was gone, the talk was about Nick Caserio, right? He was considered one of the best. You know, the New England way took a little hit when Tom Brady went away and then won a Super Bowl. And I think it's fair to question some of the personnel stuff that has gone on over there from a draft standpoint. But Nick Caserio was considered a guy universally considered as kind of a next man up for the GM positions around the league, a guy that you'd really want to have. And we thought that here in Houston as well. Now, I think that you can't just look at it in a vacuum like that, because it's also about not just team building, but the Houston Texans from 2019 were put in the most awkward situations that I think I've ever seen for a team. Trading away the best players, getting very little back, doing bad contracts, having a nightmare in the locker room for people dealing with a tyrant coach who had taken over the entire team. A character coach was assigned duties that a general manager would have and that a capologist would have. Like, it was what's happened since 2019. You must mention that in the context of the Houston Texans. But Nick Caserio's ability to, and I've told this story before, he was the one throwing passes at Pro Day at Texas A&M when Johnny Manziel had his own Pro Day. Well, Texas A&M had a separate Pro Day with the real Pro Day. Johnny had Johnny Pro Day, and the rest of Texas A&M had a Pro Day. He was the one, like, when Travis Labhart was coming out, right? Nick Caserio's the one throwing passes out there. He's the quarterback throwing, doing all the throwing drills. He's that. He was a coach at that time. Or, no, he had just gotten into personnel. So, personnel, wide receiver coach. He can even throw a pro day if you need him to. I love that versatility, too. That's great. I just question why you have installed a puppet head coach who you can kind of push around. Like, what's going to be the future for the Houston Texans with Nick Caserio? Are we going to see a strong head coach who's allowed to do his own thing?
Well,
or is Nick going to be involved in all that?
I think if this thing taught us anything, it's how closely he worked with Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is the heavy favorite to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. And maybe he's protecting him from all of the losses until they get personnel in here. And, you know, because if Josh McDaniels was running this ship right now, losing 15 games for this team, the city and everybody, you know, would turn on him and say, he's not a very good coach. Well, he got no players. I don't care who. You could bring Nick Saban. You could bring Bill Belichick here. He would win three games because of the personnel here. So maybe he's protecting him, but there is no question in my mind after watching that Josh McDaniels is the next head coach of your Houston Texans. We got more we can talk about that on this. If you want to get in on that, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. I can tell you this, we're going to be at Klein's on Friday morning, and we're going to be having a big time, and we want you there, and you still have time to give Mark a call right now, 832-316-1388. I don't know that he's up because we've been calling him. I'm not sure that he's up yet. I can tell you this. You can text him there. You can send him a picture on the phone. You can leave him a message. He'll call you back. But if you're looking for the best way to get your jewelry this holiday season, and if you wait up until the very end, guys, it's going to be impossible for him to make it for you now. But he does have all kinds of stuff in stock right now in the showcases. And he will, and you can go and you can pick something that's beautiful for her. You can trade in something that she has had that she's not wearing anymore that you can get money back for. What I need you to do is get to Klein's, 5868 Westheimer, either today, tomorrow, or for sure Friday morning to hang out with us and have the Klein's Christmas party. It's all at kleinsjewelry.com. See for yourself. But give them a call. Let them set it up. Let them make you something that you want, what she wants. Make this a huge holiday for her at Klein's Jewelry.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Lance, it looks like our guy is going to be back. Jalen Green back tomorrow night.
Okay. Good.
I think it is good. I do. We got to see because they've played much better basketball since he's left. Maybe he's learned something watching. You know. Look at Davis Mills, how much he improved. Hopefully he can improve as much as Davis Mills did, sitting there watching the team. Hopefully he did learn something about basketball, about team basketball, about sharing the basketball. That certainly would be nice if he did.
Can I make a three-sport Houston? Are we going to tie these three together? You ready? Jalen Green Luis Garcia, Davis Mills. Are these the big three of the rookies? Is this who we're going to be watching in the future?
Well, Luis Garcia was in the mix for Rookie of the Year. There's no question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hopefully Jalen Green will, you know, Davis Mills has shown something at the very least.
Or is it going to be Jalen Green, like Brevin Jordan and Chaz McCormick? Is he in that tier maybe? The Chaz man and Shingun is going to be up there with Luis Garcia?
Well,
possible.
Here's the deal is I was just looking at a story. Who is the number one rookie in the NBA right now?
Jalen Green.
No. Who's had the best season so far? You've said
damn
it.
Damn it.
Scotty Barnes.
It's Scotty Barnes, but I've got action on Jalen Green, so
yeah.
I need him to
yeah,
be
so you
the
want
answer.
You I get it. Franz Wagner is number two according to this list.
Amazing.
There are two Rockets in the top 10. Can you name them?
Are you going to say Josh Christopher?
Josh Christopher is seventh.
Ahead of Shingun. Huh.
Al Prinsen Shingun is ninth.
Okay. They're not looking at his per game totals, and I'm factoring in the fact he went to play Viper ball for a while. But
yeah,
okay,
but not
that's
long.
Fine.
Not long. He wasn't there long.
No. Okay. Well, Shingun is probably in the top 12, so the Rockets could have.
Shingun is ninth.
Oh, those are the two. Okay,
yeah,
I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
yeah, Jalen's obviously not in there.
No.
All right, so I'm going to play a game of projection. If you had to project in 3 years, in the year 2024, by the end of the year, how will those three players rank in terms of how would 2024 John Granato rank Green, Shingun, and Christopher?
Well, Shingun is going to be – I mean Jalen Green should, and if he's not, holy crap, that's a.
Well, no, but how are you projecting him?
I'm projecting him. Jalen Green, Shingun, and then Josh Christopher.
Same, yeah.
Yeah.
I am
the
I'm
order
the
that they
too.
Were. The order that they were drafted.
I'm the same too. I think some people will panic and get too far into the moment currently with recency bias. I'm definitely not giving up on Jalen Green. I think Jalen Green has the tools, but I do think his game needs to mature a lot. So you can't do that unless you play. So that's why I'm glad he's coming back. You got to play to get some of the stuff worked out.
Yeah. No. Well, hopefully he comes back and Jonathan Fagan put out a video of practice and he was, you know, flying by guys and just and throwing some nice passes and looking good. But again, I think it was probably invaluable to him to have sat and watched and after all those losses, sat and watched how you play basket, winning basketball. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Steven Silas was in his ear the whole time and telling him this, look at the difference out there sharing the basketball as opposed to playing just, you know, yourself in one-on-one basketball. You just can't. So, you know, hopefully he learned something sitting there.
Yeah. And I don't think that's crazy to think he maybe did, but for me, I think a quarterback, you know, quarterback's such a mental position. You've got to learn to process. I don't think basketball is about processing. I just think it's about instincts and playing and confidence. And so that's one I don't really think you get a whole lot better not playing. I think you got to get out there. You got to play. You got to experience things, learn and grow from them. So I don't think Jalen Green's going to get much better unless he's playing. I would argue that Josh Christopher going and playing instead of sitting on a bench, Josh Christopher going and playing helped him add that, you know, that level of confidence he needed for when he came back up. So I don't think it's any different for Jalen Green. He's got to play and he's got to figure out what he should and shouldn't do as a player. Because unless he figures it out, I mean, and he's got to take coaching too. And I'm not saying he's not taking coaching, but he's got to be a coachable, moldable talent on both sides of the ball. And we'll see if that translates.
One of the headline stories on CBS's NBA page is Eric Gordon to the Knicks. Now, this was before Kemba Walker came up with 29. I mean, he had been out of the rotation, but he just came up with 29. I don't know that they believe in Kemba Walker. But Eric Gordon to the Knicks would be something that would be interesting, getting out of that $19 million a year that they owe Eric Gordon. It'd be tough to see him go, but there's, you know what? There's not much room for an aging guy, and get yourself what you can. I don't know how much you can get. I mean, if you get second rounders, I'm sure Tillman would say, yep, get rid of that 19. Go ahead. Get rid of that 19 a year so that we can get that second rounder in here. That's fine. But you got to make room for Jalen Green and KPJ anyway. So Eric Gordon is certainly expendable. But that would be, you know, there's no way you're trading John Wall unless you give up a bunch. Which would be dumb, but Eric Gordon to the Knicks sounds like a good deal to me.
John, just think about what you just said. There's no way you're trading John Wall unless you give up a bunch. Then I'm not trading John Wall. I'm not in the business. If I'm Rafael Stone,
yeah,
I'm not trading a guy who's not even playing just so I can give up more. I mean, that's just clearly a money thing that Tillman would force a guy to do. There's no reason to give up picks to get rid of a guy who doesn't even play anyway. I mean, just sit and just keep eating that and don't give away picks.
No.
There's no reason. There's no reason to do it unless somebody gives you at least. I mean, if you want to trade him for nothing, that's fine.
Right.
You say, what would you like in return? $64.
That's okay. It. Nothing.
I take that. I don't want to give you anything. Right. I don't want to give you anything. And I understand you don't want to give me anything. So fine. Just have them. You can't do it. The NBA says you've got to make a transaction. All right. Tacos? I mean, I don't. Just get us a. You ever done this, John? You ever had somebody comp something for you, but you want to tip them because you're paying a credit card? So, can you just put just like a Diet Coke on the bill or something so you bring me a check?
No, I always
so I
carry
can give
cash.
You a tip?
I always carry cash. Yeah, I'm a cash guy.
I don't get hit over the head and my money taken. Sorry.
Oh no. Oh yeah. Like there's no credit card theft. Okay. Smart move by you.
No one steals.
No one
cards.
Even knows. No one knows you have.
You ever
cash
heard of that chip?
No one carries cash. So no one would think that I had cash on me. Okay.
I know. You're carrying cash. You're boy. What a dirty person you are.
I know.
Did you know that cash isn't even allowed?
How many restaurants won't even take cash? These, you know, I mean these little. Restaurants that you can, and they're like, sorry, we don't take. What? What are you? Are you an idiot? Cash is king. You can put it in your pocket and the government will never know. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Wait, what are we doing? Are we. Look what's going to happen. The further we go down this whole, you know, digital transaction thing, the less likely money laundering becomes.
Yes.
What are we? Or hiding money from the IRS.
Yes.
What are we doing?
What are we? We're so stupid. All right, Ross Dellinger's next. We'll talk a little Alabama and defensive line play with Ross Dellinger next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let me tell you about carsforkids.org. It's a way for you to get involved in helping in a charitable way. Cars for Kids works with, locally, they work with the Houston Can Academy. The Houston Can Academy is helping young people have a second chance at a diploma. And what Cars for Kids will do is they take your donation of your car, your truck, your SUV, your RV, your motorcycle. It really doesn't matter whether it's running or not running. They will take it from your property. They will haul it off. Maybe you're just getting a piece of junk off your property. That's okay. They'll come out there and they'll take it. They'll give you a tax write-off for it. You can write off the car and not the kid. They use that donation. They auction that off. They auction those vehicles off, and then they use that money to fund the Houston Can Academy. So you're really doing a great thing, a helpful thing, and you get a $50 Visa gift card when you say you heard about it from ESPN 97.5, and they give you that tax write-off. Right off the car, not the kid, carsforkids.org.
This is ESPN 97.5.